Hi everyone and welcome to our latest midweek podcast. We're in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and in a moment I'll read verses 9 to 12. What can we be praying for one another? I wonder whether you ever find yourself asking that question. Perhaps like me, you use the church prayer diary, and every day there's the name of one or two or a family of people to be prayed for, and you'd love to pray for them, but sometimes we find ourselves thinking, I don't quite know what to pray. I mean, if you've had a conversation with that person recently and we're conscious of something particularly going on, I don't know, a house move or a job change or something a child is struggling with or something, then of course brilliant to pray for those things. But what can we pray for those we haven't talked to recently, for those we've never met, maybe those we haven't seen for months? Very conscious because of COVID and restrictions and limited numbers and stuff, there are people in the church family who have not seen one another for a very, very, very long time. What can we pray for one another? And even if we are conscious of kind of practical everyday things to pray for one another, what can we pray for one another so our prayers kind of go deeper? I'm not saying that those practical everyday things like jobs and houses and children being happy at school and stuff don't matter. Of course they do. They matter a lot. But we'd love to be praying for one another to be growing in faith, wouldn't we? So what words can we use as we seek to do that? And when we're thinking of questions like that, Paul's prayers for the churches that he writes to in his letters are so very, very helpful. And I was recently reading this prayer of his for the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. And we'll spend just a couple of minutes now just thinking about it together. But first, let's read it. Let's read what Paul says he prays for them. He's just given great thanks for them in his opening verses. Now verse 9. So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. And now he tells us what he prays. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You can imagine Paul, can't you? Settling down, reading his Bible, praying, thinking of the Colossians. Well, here's the words that come out of his mouth as he prays for them. Let's just pick through his prayer, pick out a few things. He starts off praying that they'd be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they'd know what God wants. And we read that and maybe instinctively think that's understanding God's will in terms of guidance. You know, what, I don't know, what university should I go to? What A-level should I choose? What job should I do? Who should I marry? Those kinds of things. And maybe that's included, but actually as we look into verse 10, we realise this is more a kind of an understanding of God's will for our lives morally, how he wants us to live in godly ways, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So this is praying that we'd understand God's will for those sort of moral judgments that we have to make in life. Just wisdom calls. Think of a situation someone in the church family might find themselves in, a parent parenting a child, facing a challenge, an immediate challenge, or a teacher in a classroom having a tricky moment with a class or with a particular child or a colleague, or I don't know, someone in an office somewhere, and again there's a tricky workplace moment, or you're on the sports pitch and something happens. How do you respond? And when Paul prays that these Colossian Christians would be filled with the knowledge of God's will so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, he's praying that they would know how to behave in a way that pleases God in those sorts of moments. So not so much big guidance questions, although we pray for God's wisdom in those as well. But this is just, I'm a pastor. What does it mean for me to do that in a way that fits with God's will? Whatever your role is in life, whatever you're involved in, however you describe yourself, I do this. I'm a teacher. I'm a parent. I'm a musician. I'm retired. Whatever it might be. This is praying that God would help us to know what his will is so that we walk in a manner worthy of him as we go about those things. So a real concern there that we would know God's will like that. And then rest of the prayer, Paul picks out just four or five things, I think it's four actually, that will involve. So bearing fruit in every good work, whatever sphere of life we're in, whatever we're turning our hands to, good to pray that we would bear fruit. We would be full of things that are good and pleasing to God and helpful to others, so that we would live fruitfully in every good work. And then increasing in the knowledge of God. That's part of God's will for us. Big reminder, isn't it, that the Christian life is not just about us living a certain lifestyle in our different settings. It's not just about us being good. Sometimes we think that's kind of all the Christian life is really all about between now and heaven. No, Paul reminds us it's about increasing in the knowledge of God, just as we get to know one another better over time. Well, so Christians should be getting to know God better as we listen to him and talk to him and live with him and learn to know him in all kinds of ways. So bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God. And then 11, being strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. What for? To do extraordinary great things for him. I love the reality here. No, end of verse 11. For all endurance and patience with joy. Just that we keep on going. That whatever challenges we face now or may face in the future, that God would strengthen us just to keep going, to stay trusting him. We start out on our Christian life sometimes, don't we, with dreams of doing extraordinary, eye-catching things for the Lord, things that will be in the history books. And then the longer we go on as Christians, the more we realise we will just be very grateful to get to the end still going. And Paul prays that we know God's strength to do that. It takes God's strength to keep a Christian going through all the challenges of life. And then the fourth thing that Paul picks out is being thankful to the Father, constantly giving thanks to him. Why? For qualifying us to share in the inheritance of his saints in light. That lovely mark of a Christian. Just thankfulness to God. Never quite being able to believe how good he's been to us in Christ. Just bowled over by it. That hymn we sing sometimes, "And can it be that I should gain? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?" So there we are, a prayer for God's people to be filled with a knowledge of God's will, so that we walk in light, in manners worthy of him, that are fully pleasing to him. And then a glimpse of some of the things that that involves. Bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in our knowledge of God, being strengthened to keep on going, and being thankful to him for his kindness to us in Christ. So next time you turn to that church prayer diary, see someone's name or think of someone in the church family and think it'd be good to say a prayer for them. But what shall I say? Well, why not pick out some of those things? Or even take the whole of that section and turn it into a prayer for them. Let's do that now. Let's pray for our church family at Barkham using exactly those words that we have just been looking at. Let me lead us as we do that. Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters at Barkham Church. We pray so much that we would each be filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, in every walk of life in which you've placed us, in homes and workplaces and on sports pitches and in schools and in neighbourhoods, just wherever you put us, help us please to know your will so that we can walk in a manner worthy of you. And we pray that as you do that, we would be bearing fruit in every good work, doing things that bring glory to you and are good for others. We pray that we would be increasing in our knowledge of you, knowing you better and better as the months and the years go by. Please strengthen us to keep going with all your power, to endure and to be patient. We pray especially for those in the church family going through really tough times at the moment. Keep them going and give them patience with joy, we pray. And help us always to be giving thanks to you for qualifying us to share in the inheritance of your saints in light. We thank you so much for your grace to us in the Lord Jesus and what you've done for us in him. We pray these prayers for one another in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Attached to this email is the church prayer diary for the month of July. So if you're not in the habit of using that, why not start doing that? That would be a brilliant thing to do. Do look out for Friday's email about Sunday's services. Do keep booking in for Sunday. Many thanks to those who are being flexible about booking for the evening instead of the morning this week, if you can. And we'll very much look forward to seeing you, hopefully, on Sunday.